Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. On today's show, we are continuing our coverage of how wildfire smoke affects public health and how we can protect ourselves and the most vulnerable. Tahoe and Reno currently have some of the worst air quality in the world. The Air Quality Index, which is a measure of how unhealthy the air is, spiked to 694 in Tahoe City on Monday and 453 in Reno on Tuesday. An AQI between 300 and 500 is considered a health warning of emergency conditions. So the top there is 500, and Tahoe was 694 on Monday. Public health officials say when we see these kinds of numbers, even healthy individuals are at risk for respiratory illness. 9 large wildfires are currently burning in Northern California. But fires in the West do not just affect those of us who live here. As we saw last month, smoke descended on those living in Boston, Washington, D.C., and New York City. It was very surreal for the people who live there. And this is all making the COVID crisis even worse. According to a study published in the journal Science Advances, wildfire smoke has a significant impact on the severity of COVID cases. Airborne particulate matter from wildfire smoke last year led to a surge in COVID cases and deaths in California, Oregon, and Washington. Joining us to discuss the latest are two guests. Dr. Francesca Domenici is professor of biostatistics at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health and co-director of the Data Science Initiative at Harvard University. Dr. Domenici is senior author of a new study that found exposure to wildfire smoke may have led to increased cases and deaths from COVID. Hi, Dr. Domenici. Thanks again for joining us.
Sure. Thank you for inviting me.
Dr. Gina Solomon is principal investigator at the Public Health Institute in Oakland and clinical professor of medicine at the University of California, San Francisco. Dr. Solomon is also on the advisory council of the Bay Area Air Quality Management District. Hi, Dr. Solomon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, I'm very happy to be here with you.
Well, it's great to have both of you. I just want to ask you just a very basic question, given that to think about what Tahoe is dealing with. I saw some photos yesterday. I mean, you can barely see the lake, and yet people are out and about walking around. And then there's the new study that you were involved with, Dr. Domenici. At this point, given what we know and given how intense these fires are so early in the season, what really concerns you the most?
Well, really concerned me that these people are breathing such high level of fine particulate matter. The adverse health effect of fine particulate matter, even a level much, much, much lower, are very well documented. And so it's very concerning. People should avoid breathing such unhealthy air as much as possible.
And what would you add, Dr. Solomon?
I just add that, we know how bad smoking cigarettes is. If you step outside into particulate matter that's that thick, it's like you're smoking multiple packs of cigarettes all at once. I mean, this is an insult to the lungs that is really off the charts and is really something that people need to take seriously. It's not something to sort of just tough it out. You're damaging the delicate tissues in your lungs, putting yourself at risk for both short-term and longer-term health effects. And so this is a time to, in those very high levels of particulate matter, it's time to stay indoors and shelter in a place with relatively cleaner air.
Dr. Solomon, what is the best way to find out what is healthy and unhealthy where you live? So a lot of people are using different apps. I noticed that some apps give you numbers and then some apps give you colors and say poor, moderate, unhealthy. What's the best way to get the most accurate information?
There are a lot of different apps out there. Some are very good. I'm a big fan of the AirNow app. That one actually was developed by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. I think they did a good job. You can check out the airnow.gov website or download the app for either iPhone or Android. I check it regularly. I have it open right in front of me right now, looking at the California smoke map. In addition, if you want to focus on not just in general air quality, but specifically wildfire smoke, go to fire.airnow.gov and you can actually see the smoke map, for the entire country and for where you live.
Okay, this is great. So I'm in Sonoma County helping family, and it says it's pretty good here. It's in the green. And again, that's airnow.gov, and this is an app developed by the EPA. What would you add, Dr. Domenici? What is the best way for us to get this information?
Yeah, I completely agree with my colleague. I think that these apps now are pretty accurate and is probably the best tool to assess the air quality immediately.
So let's talk about other basic questions around how to protect ourselves. Like I said, looking at these photos of Tahoe where you just can barely see the lake, a lot of people are out, they're still swimming, they're walking around. Dr. Domenici, we all have those cloth masks, but you've been on the show before. Those cloth masks do not protect you from wildfire smoke. So what is the best way to protect ourselves?
Yes, I mean, I think, first of all, I think it's important to understand what are these fine particulate matter. These are particles that are smaller than 2.5 microns. So the size of the particle, to just give a sense, is 1/50 of the diameter of a human hair. So these particles are so tiny that can penetrate through the cloth mask. And also the reason why are so harmful is that they penetrate very deep into your lungs. Are also, they're getting into your bloodstream, and that can cause inflammation and cardiovascular disease. They can compromise your immune system. And actually, we also know now that they can have adverse neurological effect. And by the way, on top of that, unfortunately, they also tend to penetrate indoor. So, because of how tiny these particles are, it's unclear how much the cloth mask or general mask can completely protect you from inhalation of this fine particle. And so the best way to protect yourself, unfortunately, as my colleague correctly pointed out, is to stay indoor the degrees possible, if you can afford to have filter that will filter the air and clean the air indoor. And, again, if it's possible to just, change and move away from where the very high level of fine particulate matter are occurring right now. And again, it's unclear the degree to which a cloth mask or any standard mask can really protect you from inhalation of these fine particles.
Dr. Domenici, what are your thoughts on people who say that if you have to go out and about, the best thing to do is to wear an N95 mask?
To my knowledge, and again, I am not an expert in virology and I haven't studied this issue personally, but I haven't seen this, such as overwhelming amount of evidence that the N95 mask will protect you more from fine particulate matter than other types of masks.
Dr. Solomon, what would you add? What's the best way to protect ourselves?
Well, I actually am a believer in N95 masking effective, but there are a few caveats there. One is that if you're looking for an N95, look for one that is NIOSH certified. Those were almost impossible to get last year due to the pandemic, but now they're actually readily available. And I just checked on a major online retailer. You can get them for about $1 a mask, which is reasonable, especially since you can use an N95 multiple times before you need to discard it. Now, the NIOSH certified N95s are less comfortable, you'll find, because they have straps that have to go behind your head, not just looping over your ears. And they are quite tight. And so people will not want to wear them for long, but that's okay. You don't want to be outside for very long either. So if you have to be outside and your air quality index is in the red or Lord help us in the purple, put on that N95 mask. Make sure that it's on tight, that one strap's over your ears, the other's behind your neck, and pinch that little metal thing over your nose nice and tight. Now, if you have a beard, forget it, because the particles will sort of make their way through the hair in your beard and behind the mask. So you either shave or don't go outside, unfortunately. That's it's a tough one. Those masks actually are designed to work very well for very small particles, but you have to wear them properly. They have to fit well.
And again, NIOSH certified, that's NIOSH. Is there a website that you prefer? I mean, is there a place that you prefer to buy from? Because I've noticed that in some of the local hardware stores, they're selling these N95s for like $6 a piece.
Well, you know, I don't want to recommend any particular retailer, to be honest. I just checked Amazon, so I have a sense of the price range. Mm-hmm. And there, you just want to make sure that they're NIOSH certified, and you will see a big range of prices out there.
Right, right.
So I want a comparison shop.
And we definitely want to support our local small businesses, but I know that for some people, you know, that's just too expensive. And that brings us to the question around the most vulnerable. You know, every time I hear a guest say, stay inside, I immediately think of people who are out on the streets. They do not have the option to stay inside. Luckily, some libraries are now open so they can go in a library, but during COVID, they couldn't go anywhere. And Dr. Domenici, we had you on the show, I believe it was in April, and we kind of did this show as a wake-up call to public officials to say, this is coming. What are you doing to ensure that people out on the streets, our most vulnerable humans, have access to masks, and then also low-income people have access to filtration devices, air filters. Dr. Domenici, have we seen any studies out about how wildfire smoke specifically affects people living on the streets?
To my knowledge, they're not being specifically to, you know, wildfire exposure for people living in the street. However, unfortunately, and the, you know, what is sad about all of this is that every time we are talking about health impact of climate change related disaster, in this context, we're talking about wildfires, and together in the context of COVID, we do know that people of lower socioeconomic status and underrepresented minority tends to be the one that are affected the most. In the context of wildfire exposure, there is actually a lot of studies that are looking at and have found a more adverse health impact among Afro-Americans and Latino and people with existing comorbidity and elderly for a very high level of fine particulate matter. So whether or not they are directly related to wildfires, we do know that the lower income and the underrepresented minority tends to be the one mostly at risk. And then we also know that the same thing happening in the context of COVID. And again, in both cases, there is this level of freedom and privilege that some portion of the population have. For example, in the context of wildfires and the COVID, they can stay at home and they can purchase filters or they can change residence. But in other contexts, where they don't have the choice, where their work requires them to be outside and their work requires them to be in situation where they cannot practice social distances, this is most effective. And that's really the reason why I got really interested and being all hands on deck, both with our first study looking at the long-term effect of air pollution, this is regardless of wildfires and COVID-19 mortality, and now this most recent study on wildfire exposure and COVID cases and deaths. And as you correctly pointed out, to really call and attract as much as attention as possible to local public health agency to really protect the elderly, protect the people with underlying condition, and protect the subgroup of the population, the farmers, the people that have to spend most of their time outdoor because they are the one more vulnerable.
Right. It's such an important point, and I just think it needs so much more attention. Last week, Air District announced that they will provide 2,000 individuals living in the Bay Area with portable indoor home filtration units, air filtration units. They'll be distributed through nonprofits and community-based healthcare providers. And we are putting a link on our website in case you or someone you know wants to reach out to these groups to get an air filtration system. Dr. Solomon, what would you add about what it will take to protect the most vulnerable? Just a basic thing like handing out N95 masks to people on the streets is so important.
Yes, I completely agree with my colleague Francesca that climate change and COVID are hammering low-income communities. They're hammering the most vulnerable people in our society, and especially the elderly, the very young, and those with underlying medical conditions, just at very high risk. And people who have resources will find the effects of climate change distressing and expensive and annoying. But really, it's the poor that are bearing the brunt and that literally are dying from the health effects of these twin pandemics of COVID and climate change. And so there needs to be so much more done to really help the most at-risk communities. And the air purifiers that are being handed out through the Bay Area Air Quality Management District and the Regional Asthma Management Program through the Public Health Institute, these are a drop in the bucket in a way, but it's an important step because low-income asthmatics are a population we really need to protect. We need to get really high-quality air purifiers into their hands that they will benefit the most from breathing in air. An air purifier in the bedroom is one of the most important things that people can do so that you at least get a respite at night when you sleep. You can breathe clean air for a while.
And if you'd like to take any action on this, according to the ABC affiliate in Fresno, California lawmakers are working to pass the Farm Worker Wildfire Smoke Protections Act. This would require employers to provide N95 masks and require Cal OSHA to provide workers with bilingual wildfire safety information. It's kind of amazing that this is not already a requirement, but this is where we are with worker protections, especially the most vulnerable. The bill still needs to pass the State Assembly and Senate before it heads to Governor Gavin Newsom's desk. Again, this is called the Farm Worker Wildfire Smoke Protections Act. And today we are talking about wildfire smoke, its effect on our health, what we can do to protect ourselves, and the most vulnerable. Dr. Francesca Domenici is professor of biostatistics at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health and co-director of the Data Science Initiative at Harvard. Dr. Domenici is senior author of a study that found exposure to wildfire smoke may have led to increased cases and deaths from COVID. Dr. Gina Solomon is principal investigator at the Public Health Institute in Oakland and clinical professor of medicine at the University of California, San Francisco. Dr. Solomon is also on the advisory council of the Bay Area Quality Management District. And again, some of the best apps or websites, the Air Now app, or if you're not using apps, you can go online to airnow.gov. And this is developed by the EPA. And if you want to get an N95, just make sure it is NIOSH certified. That's NIOSH. If you have any questions about wildfire smoke, you can give us a call, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Last time you were on, Dr. Domenici, you gave us a rundown and the overall basics of what happens when you inhale smoke. But can you just give us a reminder of, just give us a sense of what that looks like and how that affects our bodies?
Yes. First of all, it's important to remember that how fine particulate matter adversely affect our health is a scientific discipline that it's now very well studied. And so, you know, the context of how harmful these particulate matter are, I think it's something that now there is a very strong consensus among scientists and how they happen. And so, basically, with the mechanism, and so they have been also being very well studied, the biological mechanism. As I mentioned earlier, these are particles where the diameter is smaller than 2.5 microns. So these are such a smaller particles that actually you don't smell it or you can feel them. Like if you are walking by, for example, a construction site or where there is a lot of dust, these are called coarse particles. These are bigger particles. And then, you know, you naturally protect yourself by them because you start coughing and, you know, you just feel them. But these fine particles, so they basically penetrate very, very deep in your lungs. And they has been very well established. They can lead to respiratory infection. They can lead and exacerbate asthma and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. They penetrate into your bloodstream, and therefore, by getting into your bloodstream, there has also been established a link with all types of cardiovascular disease, stroke, and myocardial infarction. And now there is more evidence that in the long term, if you are repeatedly exposed to fine particulate matter, can lead to adverse neurocognitive, so increase and the severity and the progression of Alzheimer's disease and dementia. Unfortunately, I mean, I can go on for a long time, unfortunately, because there have also been links with pregnancy outcome, preterm births, and low births. There's been a very important studies years ago, actually in California, that have demonstrated that kids going to school and being more exposed to fine particulate matter tends to have a more compromised pulmonary capacity. So, and these, most of these studies, just keep in mind, were done at levels of fine particulate matter that were lower than the one that we are experiencing today during the wildfires.
Can you tell us a little bit more about how wildfire smoke is harmful to children, especially as children are going back to school?
Well, in the same way, unfortunately, as they're harmful to everyone. But I think with children, what is even more concerning is that there is definitely, there's been a link with exacerbation of asthma. And so children that already have asthma, they can trigger their asthma attack. But then, as that was demonstrated in a California study years ago, and I think in the context of children, that is pretty concerning, is that really they are compromising the pulmonary capacity. And so if you're compromising the pulmonary capacity of the children, that's something that they are going to, unfortunately, be part of them for the rest of their lives.
Dr. Solomon, what would you add when it comes to what happens when we inhale wildfire smoke and how it affects our respiratory system?
I think that Dr. Domenici raised all of the key points and issue areas that we need to think about. Really, it's stunning that it really affects almost every organ system in the human body in adverse ways and ways that encompass both short-term and long-term health effects. So it's something to take very seriously. And we've known that smoke in general is a problem from, you know, studying cigarette smoke and from studying diesel exhaust, but wildfire smoke, the composition is slightly different, but not that different. It's the particles that really seem to be, especially long distance, you know, if you're not right up next to the fire, it's the particles that really are the most harmful. If you're close to the fire, and if it's burning homes, there's a whole other stew of chemicals to think about. Because some studies done, you know, after some of these fires like the Camp Fire that destroyed the town of Paradise found a lot of chemicals, including cyanide, very, very toxic gases, volatile organic compounds like the carcinogen benzene, accumulate in that smoke that the firefighters are encountering and the people who are in the zones right near the fire. I would not be surprised, to be honest, if monitoring up near Tahoe found that, that we're not just talking about particulate matter there, but rather a really toxic stew of chemicals that are in that smoke.
Dr. Gina Solomon is principal investigator at the Public Health Institute in Oakland. Dr. Francesca Domenici is professor of biostatistics at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. And today we're talking about wildfire smoke, its effect on our health, and how we can protect ourselves and the most vulnerable. If you have any questions for our guests, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org or tweet at yourcallradio. We have a question from Penny, who says, should a person with compromised lungs wear a mask while in a car with all the windows up and with the AC on? I'll need to drive up north from San Francisco soon, so should I mask up while driving with all the windows and vents closed in smoky areas, or would being on AC, would that be sufficient? Dr. Domenici?
Well, I think I feel that Dr. Solomon is better equipped to address that question, okay, as I'm not a clinician.
Yeah, you know, that's a tough one. My recommendation would probably be to put the air conditioner on recirc so that it's not drawing in outdoor air. Keep the windows closed and not worry about masking up. The recirc function in the car, recirculation function, means that it's not really going to be pulling in much outdoor air. That would be my recommendation at this time.
All right. Well, thank you for the question, Penny. Norma writes, what does moderate on the AQI index mean? Masks, no masks, amount of exposure? Dr. Solomon?
It depends on who you are. So the moderate sort of orangish or yellow, I guess technically moderate is low on the air quality index. Those are to alert sensitive populations. So if you have asthma, if you have any other underlying health condition, you really want to pay attention to those signals, even when it's just a moderate listing. Whereas if you're young and healthy, then you still want to not, you know, necessarily go out and go for a run, but you can at least go outside and do some normal activities. So it's sort of the idea here is to let people decide for themselves how sensitive they are and also how concerned they are, and try to make, use the information to make practical decisions. Now, of course, there are some people, as Dr. Domenici mentioned, who cannot make decisions, like outdoor workers, and they, Rose, you mentioned that there's a bill. There actually are some Cal OSHA standards in place that do require at a certain level that masks get provided to farm workers. But that population, it's really tough. You know, it's hot. They're working hard. They're breathing hard. And that wearing a mask is not easy. I would dare anybody to try wearing a mask for an 8 to 10 hour shift in 100-degree temperatures, exerting themselves, picking a crop. So we really need to do better for the outdoor workers among us.
Yes.
One of the strategies there is to make sure that when they go home, they are in a clean, safe environment. And so one of the projects I'm working on is designed to help provide cleaner air through air filtration in farm worker homes. That's at the least we can do, I think, for the people who grow our food.
Yes. Thank you. Well, I just want to thank our guests, and we're going to go to break and we'll go to our next segment. And you can find information about that COVID study, really, really important information about how inhaling smoke actually really affects people if they do get COVID, because it really affects their respiratory system. And you can find information about that at yourcallradio.org. Dr. Francesca Domenici is professor of biostatistics at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. Dr. Gina Solomon is principal investigator at the Public Health Institute in Oakland. And again, a couple of resources. AirNow.org is a really good app or a website to find air quality. If you do get the N95 mask, make sure it's NIOSH certified, NIOSH. And then we will also put a link to information about the air filters that will be given out to 2,000 people in the Bay Area. And we'll figure out what we can do to increase that number, because we know that there is so much need. I'm sorry about these issues. Thanks to Dr. Domenici and Dr. Solomon for joining us. And coming up after a break, we will talk about that $3.5 trillion transformative budget bill, which just passed the House on a party line vote. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this.